Well, morning everyone. It's good to be with you as we take this few minutes with God's Word this morning. Whether you're here in the chapel or with us online, I pray that God's Spirit will speak with our spirit as we spend this time together. Stop listing, start living, the video clip said. So it's confession time. Who are the list makers here this morning? Let's see. So I hope I'm not the only one. No, there are a few hands going up around the place. Whew. Well, in this series, Just Say Yes, we're looking at some things to help us say yes to God. I don't know how many times in your life you've said yes to God. Yes, Lord, what's the song say? Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to change. Things are going to be different. I'm doing this for you. This year, new me. And we have all the best intentions to follow through on our yes for about 2 weeks, and then it's like nothing really ever changes. Is that how it is for you sometimes? So what does it really take to make our yes, yes, to make it stick? Last week we looked at the first strategy in making our yes stick. We said it has to do with vision. It has to do with seeing something before we experience it. We need to see the possibility of what God can do in our lives when we say yes. And we talked about whether we're seeing our future through the eyes of fear and anxiety, or whether we're seeing our future through the eyes of faith. We've got to see a picture in our mind of what saying yes to God and God's purposes for our lives will mean. Until we see it, it isn't going to happen. The first step in saying yes to God is something about vision. The second element of saying yes to God we're going to look at this morning is faith. We not only have to see that saying yes to God is possible, we need the faith to believe that we can say yes, that we can change, that our circumstances can change, that we can fulfill God's purpose in us. So it helps to say yes for God's purpose in us and with us to be fulfilled if we set some goals, some faith goals. A world-famous psychiatrist once said, "I've discovered the most helpful thing that I can do for people in a personal or a relational situation is to help them set some personal goals." Why is that? What happens when we set some goals in faith? What happens in our soul and in our spirit? And why do they help us say yes to God? As we prepare to think about that a little, let's pray. Lord, it's true. We make resolutions. We resolve things about our relationship with you and what that means. We tell you we want to love you. We tell you we just want to say yes. We tell you we want to do the things that you call us to do. And yet the truth is, Lord, sometimes we struggle with that. So as we think about vision, as we think about how we might set some goals that help us respond to you, we pray that you would just teach us, that you would imprint that on our hearts so that we are ready, we are equipped to purposefully just say yes when you call us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of us don't like the word goal, but I don't know if you've ever thought that setting a goal can actually be a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual practice. Goals are not just a good idea. Like prayer, like fasting, like spending time with God, like giving, they're a spiritual practice. And like all other spiritual habits and practices, they help us to grow. Goal setting is a spiritual practice. Having goals can be an act of stewardship. God, I want to make the most of what I've been given. Goals can be an act of worship. God, I give back to you the life you've given me and I want you to use it. I want to go in your direction. Goals can be an act of discipleship. When we fulfill goals with other people, it's an act of fellowship. Goals are a spiritual practice. And did you know that God sets goals? God has goals for history that haven't happened yet. God has goals for his family, the church, that haven't happened yet. God has goals for our lives that haven't happened yet. God is a goal-setting God, and if we're made in God's likeness, God wants us to set goals too. Here's an example from Ephesians 1:10. God plans to bring all of history. See that? God doesn't just sit around and let things happen. God plans what's going to happen. Sometimes we think, I'm not going to plan, I'm just going to trust God, I'm just going to go with the flow. That's not really a healthy spiritual practice. If that's what we do, it's like we're just drifting through life. God plans, it says, to bring all of history to its goal in Christ. Then Christ will be the head of everything in heaven and on earth. History is moving towards a climax where one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's moving towards a goal. You remember when the Lion King came out and everybody learned a song that was called The Circle of Life. That's a great song. But friends, the idea of life being a circle isn't a Christian concept. That's a Buddhist concept. The Bible doesn't teach that life is a circle, that we're all just being reincarnated over and over and over and over in a circle of life. The Christian faith says life is linear. It's moving towards a goal. One day the earth is going to end. One day God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. There might be seasons in our lives, but we're moving towards a goal. So God is a goal setter, and goal setting is a spiritual practice. Second thing we can say about goals is goals focus our energy. Energy that isn't focused doesn't have much power. Energy that's focused has enormous power. Paul models it in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, I don't run without a goal. I fight like a boxer who's hitting something, not just the air. People we know and sometimes ourselves, we're running around in circles. Paul says, I'm running towards a goal. I run to win. And I don't want us running around in circles in 2014, and I don't want us just shadow boxing the air and not hitting anything. Paul says, I have a purpose. I have a goal in everything that I do. That helps us to focus, and the reason that's important is because we don't have time for everything. Would you agree with that? And the good news is, God doesn't expect us to do everything, probably because not everything is worth doing in the first place. Sometimes we're wasting our lives on second-class causes that ultimately betray us. Much of what goes on in the world around us isn't going to matter next week. And sometimes we don't know the difference between what's urgent and what's important. The urgent is almost never the most important thing. What's most important in our life is often the stuff that we find easiest to set aside. I want to spend time with God, but I set it aside for what's urgent. I want to spend time with my family, but I set it aside for what's urgent. The urgent almost always pushes the important out of the way. Goals help focus my energy. Ever get to the end of the day and say, "Where did all my time go?" Often it's because I was unfocused. I didn't have a goal. The Bible says, make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. We're to make the most. That means don't waste our time on non-essentials. It means we need to know the difference between pressure and priorities. We need to know the difference between activity and achievement, between production and reproduction, between what's urgent and what's most important. We need to know what matters most. So goals are not just a spiritual discipline. They focus my energy. Scripture also says that goals stretch our faith. Godly goals are like statements of faith. They affirm our trust in God. When we say, I believe God wants me to accomplish this today, that's a statement of faith. Dreams are good. But dreams don't do anything unless we wake up and go to work. There are dreams, and then there are resolutions, and then there are goals. And the best of all is goals. A lot of people have dreams and don't do anything about it. They just keep on dreaming. Others set resolutions, and there's nothing wrong with resolutions, but we've got to have other things behind it. A goal is a dream with a deadline. A goal says that by the end of 2014, I'm going to finish this job. I'm going to weigh this amount. I'm going to have read these books. A goal is specific. And the Bible tells us God wants us to set goals because they stretch our faith. Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Sometimes it feels like we've never trusted God until we've attempted something that can't be done in our human power alone. So faith goals are like those big goals that force us to depend on God. So one challenge for us this morning is to dream some great dreams for God and then to set a deadline on it. Ask God, where is it that you want me to say yes? And then to have the faith and set the goals to do it. Goals are a spiritual discipline. They focus my energy. They stretch my faith. Goals build our character. The reason we're talking about just saying yes and setting goals as part of our faith practice isn't just so we can accomplish a bunch of stuff. I'm happy for that. I'm glad. But what I'm more interested in is what happens to you and what happens to me, what happens to our character. The greatest benefit of saying yes and setting goals in faith isn't simply that we reach a goal and accomplish what that is. It's what happens to us on the journey. It's who we become on the journey. It's what changes in us on the journey. It's the plot of 1,000 movies that you've seen. Whether the plot of the movie is to win the war, to go to the moon, to climb Mount Everest, to get the girl. During the movie, there are so many obstacles to the main character getting to the goal, and during all of those obstacles, their character changes. They grow up in some way, and that's what God wants to do. He wants me to grow up. Because really, when I get to heaven, I'm not taking any of my accomplishments, and you're not taking any of your achievements. We're not taking our academic awards and our sporting trophies and our certificates and the honours that we've received in life. We're not taking any of that to heaven, but you are taking you, and I'm taking me. We're taking the character that we've developed here on earth. And one of the ways we develop character is by setting a goal and going after it and not giving in when we have all kinds of difficulties. It's in that process, it's in that struggle, we develop the kind of character that God wants us to have. While we're working on the goal, God is working on us. So if I don't have any goals for this next year, what's God going to work on? If you don't have any dreams, then why will you get out of bed? While we're working on our goals, God is working on us because that's going to last for eternity. Paul's really honest about growing in character, becoming more and more like Christ, maturing, and the struggle that it is. Paul says, I do not claim that I've already succeeded. In other words, I don't claim that I've already reached my goal or I have already become perfect, that my character is fully developed. I keep striving towards the goal for which Christ Jesus has won me to himself. And what's that goal? Do you know what God's number one goal is for your life? It's not to make you happy. That's a side benefit. Not to make you comfortable, because it's not always comfortable. Not to make you secure, because life isn't always secure. This isn't heaven, this is earth. God's number one goal in our lives is to make us like Jesus. He wants us to grow up in character. He wants us to learn to respond to things the way that Jesus did, to trials and troubles and tribulations and difficulties and problems. He wants us to know how to handle criticism. He wants us to know how to deal with enemies. He wants us to know how to be kind to people who can't pay us back. He wants us to learn how to love people who are unlovely. He wants us to learn how to forgive the people who've hurt us. He wants us to learn the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's character. That's becoming like Christ. He wants you to become like Jesus. Ephesians 4:13 says, then we will be mature, just as Christ is. And we will be completely like him. Friends, it's going to take the rest of our lives to grow in character. There is no pill I can give you that will make you instantly mature. And all of a sudden you're not worried anymore. Or I'm patient. Or you're loving to everybody. Or I never get upset. Or you're never afraid. No pill for that. Can't give you a seminar, a conference, an event that's going to take away all of those things that mess up our lives. It's going to be a process. So we should say yes to some spiritual goals. I want us to be more loving to people here at CMP. But how? How am I going to do that? I need to think that through. I want us to treat our wives and our kids and our family better. Well, how are we going to do that? Those goals will build my character and they make me more like Christ if they're good goals. Goals give us hope. The reason why we need to set goals is goals give us hope, and we have to have hope in life. We have to have hope to cope. It's essential to living. A study was done of the Holocaust survivors in Auschwitz and Buchenwald and Dachau and who survived, and the report said there was one common denominator of everybody who made it through the death camps. Just one common denominator. And it was this. They had something to look forward to. That's what kept them going. The people who had nothing to look forward to tended to give up and just die. But the people who had something to look forward to, they had a goal, that kept them going. It caused them to endure. It gave them the hope to endure. The fact is, life is tough. It isn't easy. Life is full of losses and full of accidents, and it's full of illnesses and stuff happens. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 years of your life. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I do know this, there will be problems. I know this, there will be pain. I know that we will all lose people that we love. That's life. We're going to go through difficult times. But what happens is, if we've got goals, goals give us the hope to keep moving forward. Goals keep us moving forward when we feel like giving up. Remember the story of Job? Remember when Job lost everything in life, he said, I do not have the strength to endure. I do not have a goal that encourages me to carry on. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'm sure some of you are going through really tough times. I know some of you are. Maybe you think, I'm going through hell right now. That's what it feels like. What do you do when you're going through hell? You keep going. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to stay in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to go through it. No goal? If we don't set any goals for our life for this next year, our goal really is to stay the same. It's the goal by default. If I say to you, what's your goal for your health this year? And you say, I don't have one. Then your goal is to stay the same. Or get worse, I don't know. If I say, what's your goal for your finances this year? And you say, I don't have one. Your goal is to stay the same. Maybe go further into debt. What's your goal for your marriage? I don't have one. Then it's not going to get any better. What's your goal for your relationship with God? Don't have one. Then we're not going to get closer to Him. We need a goal. Long-term goals help me, keep me from being discouraged by short-term setbacks. We need a set of long-range plans, but goals don't always have to be big. If you've ever visited somebody in a hospital who's had major surgery, you know that the first goal when you're in hospital is just to sit up in bed. Second goal, to put your feet down and stand up. Third goal, to walk to the bathroom unassisted. Fourth goal, walk around the ward of the hospital before you're allowed to go home. You don't have to start big. You don't start by saying, my goal today after surgery is to run a marathon. You take one goal at a time, a little bit. Now, it's important to realize that not every goal is a good goal. Not every goal is a godly goal. Not every goal is a goal that, in a sense, God can bless. I could set a goal that says, in 2014, I am not going to miss a single TV show. God isn't going to bless that goal. So I need to set good godly goals, if that's the right expression. What kind of goal will God be able to bless in my life? So here's just the first of them. Godly goals bring glory to God. That seems obvious. But let's just say it, the goals that God blesses are those that bring glory to Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Scripture says we can do everything in life to the glory of God if we've got the right attitude and the right motivation and the right reason. It says, whether you eat or drink, you do it to the glory of God. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I sit down at a restaurant, I don't naturally think which food I eat is going to bring glory to God. I'm not thinking that at all, usually. I'm thinking which smells and tastes best, probably which has the most calories in it. But would I be healthier if I asked which food helps me to bring glory to God? The answer to that is probably yes. And there's a bigger issue here than this. It's that no matter what we do in life, it can be done to the glory of God if we do it with the right attitude and the right motivation. What's the right attitude? Scripture tells us it's gratitude. The right attitude is gratitude. For instance, let's say Jan's gone out for the day and I say I'm going to clean up the kitchen, I'm going to wash the dishes, get everything all cleaned up. Is there a way to wash the dishes and do that for the glory of God? Well, I guess it is. If I'm going, Lord, thank you for these dishes, and at least I've got dishes and actually have food to put on those dishes. I know a lot of people in the world don't have either food or dishes. So I am really grateful that I have to wash these dishes because it means I've got something to wash. It's an attitude of gratitude. I want to bring honor to you. What kind of goal brings glory to God? Any goal that causes me to love Jesus more is going to bring glory to God. Any goal that causes me to be more grateful to God. Any goal that causes me to want to serve God. Any goal that causes me to be drawn to Him. Any goal that causes me to want to brag about God to other people. Look at what God has done. That's a godly goal. Any goal that's going to cause me to love Jesus more as I fulfill it and cause me to obey Him more and trust Him more in going after it. That's a good goal. So, you want to bring glory to God by loving and trusting and serving and obeying. 2 Corinthians says, we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, whether we're here on earth or in heaven. Folks, I put on the insert into the newsletter a couple of other thoughts about what kind of goal does God bless. And they're kind of there for you for either your interest or for your homework. We're not going to go through all of those now because as we come to sing the last song, I just want you to have a quiet moment to think about your goals for 2014. How your best intentions, how your resolutions might come to fruition in a godly way as you say yes to Him. So let's take a moment just to think about that. We'll play a little bit of quiet music while we're doing that. Take some time to think about what might be goals for you, something that is specific in 2014, something that is specific this day, this week, and something that you can do in a way that just says yes to God and then that God might bless because you do it. God, thank you for our church community. We love you. We want to love one another. And we greet this year 2014 with great enthusiasm. We want to give you all of our lives, all of who we are. We want to just say yes, and we pray that in whatever we do, in the goals that we set, you would continue to conform us into the likeness of Jesus. Help us to take the time to make some faith goals in the life that we live as individuals and together as a community. Lord, I pray that you would hear the prayers of your people in this place, as in their hearts and their minds, they make that commitment to you. Tell you they're willing to say yes to that into which you call them, that which you purpose for them. And I pray that we will be able to encourage each other and support each other as we live those goals out as individuals and together as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.